Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com Radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that are tuning into my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all you guys' listenership. We have a great show for you guys today. If you're into cool animals, pets, or also just into movies or anything like that, we have a cool guest coming into the show. Her name's Kim Sill. She's an animal activist as well as an actress and the founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop. But before that, we want to do a couple little plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's S-T-A-U-R-O-S entertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our lovely guest, Kim Sill, or our guest co-host, go to our Facebook page over at Star Wars Entertainment over on Facebook. And if you like the music we're going to be playing, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan over on Twitter, T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy over there. And then thanks to the hacker there, it's Tyrone Tan Official on Instagram. So T-Y-R-O-N-T-A-N-N Official over on Instagram. And if you really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, it's Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. So without further ado, first off, I want to say thank you to all the lovely and awesome guest co-hosts we've had that have been kind of rotating throughout the seasons. And I always want to say thank you for all the lovely guest co-hosts. So we are going to be having a new guest co-host in for today. He's a cool person. I've just met the gentleman, and he seems like a big, big sweetheart, a teddy bear of a guy. He is a film music producer, but he also, I think he knows the guests of the hour quite well. But here he is, Mr. Joel Sill. Welcome, Joel Sill, to StarSunday.tv, IndyWonder.com Radio, and UBN.
Thanks, Tyrone.
So, well, first off, I know it's kind of like impromptu, but hey, it's supposed to be fun here. So first off, for the audience that does not know a little bit, tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I primarily work in the film music world as a music supervisor. Mm-hmm. I was head of music for Paramount Pictures for a number of years, and then in charge of music for Warner Communications for all filmed entertainment, and then went into independent work as a independent music supervisor for a number of years, starting a long time ago with the film Easy Rider, through the years working on films like Purple Rain, Forrest Gump, Blade Runner, so on and so forth.
A couple of small independent films that no one's heard about. Those are awesome. Those are classic movies. And what was it like being part of that kind of, that film history, so to speak? I mean, do you look back at an hour at the time where you just like, they were just a typical job, and then next thing you know, they become classics, and you're like, oh my gosh, I was part of that.
It was always a terrific opportunity, and I was thrilled generally to be working with these people in the environment I was in, working on the projects. It was something to strive for.
Wow.
So I had a great time. It's a great experience.
And who are your inspirations in that field, so to speak, for you?
In terms of the filmmakers?
Oh, no, like inspirations in music, so to speak.
Oh, in music. I go all the way back to R&B with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, the Coasters, Laverne Baker, and working through the years, Charlie Mingus, all the way to Simply Red and Quincy Jones, and Bob Seger, across the boards.
That's awesome. So is there one highlight for yourself that maybe you could always remember from doing this whole, music film, history, so to speak? Is there someone that, like, something that you'll always take away? Go, you know what? This is all worth it. This working with this person or working this on this project.
I think one of the most satisfying projects, and there have been many, was Forrest Gump.
Wow.
Working with Robert Zemeckis, who I still work with today. I'm working on a film with him right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
And his wife, Leslie, who's also a very accomplished filmmaker.
Yeah, which we were talking off air. Like, we're mutual friends.
Right.
So that's awesome. And you know the guests of the hour, too, I hear, somehow.
I've met her.
You met her? So, but what we're going to do, so I don't know if you got the memo. I know you're impromptu here, but did you get the memo? The memo is the guest co-host of the hour. We talk about some movie reviews. Now, by any chance, is there any movies you got to see in the theaters lately or anything like that, or maybe an Netflix? Or I could go to my plan B because I've got to see some movies in the theater as well.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Okay. I did not get to see that. Is that recent that you got
to see? That's recent. It's nominated for 14 BAFTA awards.
Okay.
And I think 9 Academy Awards.
Okay.
It's a...
okay. It's a little... It's right here. All Quiet on the Western Front, thanks to IMDb. It's rated R, correct?
Yes.
It's on Netflix.
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm going to do a quick synopsis, and then I'm going to have you talk a little bit about it. So thanks to IMDb, here's your little quick synopsis. It's pretty quick. It's called All Quiet on the Western Front, rated R. Here's a little quick synopsis. A young German soldier's terrifying experiences and distress on the Western Front during World War I, directed by Edward Berger and starring Felix Kammerer. I do apologize if I'm mispronouncing. Albrecht Schuch, Aaron Hilmer, and a plethora of other great actors in here. I have not gotten to see this, but you did, and it's on Netflix, correct?
That's correct.
And what did you think about this movie?
I thought it was a phenomenal view into the meaninglessness of war.
Wow.
And the fact that soldiers being promoted nationalism wind up being tossed into these sausage-making machines.
Mm.
And it's a brutal look, but this film's been made twice before, the story has. And it's a very authentic look. It's a brilliant film. So if you're interested in looking at these kinds of films and the truth sometimes behind the meaninglessness of war, this might be a good film to look at.
And what do you think was the difference between, you said this particular movie has been done before. When was the last time you saw, was there one that you've seen how many years ago, far back?
Quite a while ago. I think it was made in the 1930s, 1940s, the first version. And the difference is this version, it's about the French and German war in World War I, the trench warfare. But this time it's told from a German soldier's perspective.
Wow.
Which is exactly the same as a Frenchman's, which is exactly the same as an American's, because they're basically pawns in the whole process of warfare. And it really distinguishes itself in showing the meaninglessness of war.
Mm, wow. So do you highly recommend checking this out?
I do.
Okay. So again, Joel Sill, film music producer extraordinaire, highly recommends checking out. It's called All Quiet on the Western Front. It's out there on Netflix. It's rated R. So check it out. Now I'm anxious to see this now. That's awesome. So cool. Now, I don't know, Joel, but did you by any chance get the other memo? The other memo is the guest co-host of the hour arranges a way to bring in the guest of the hour into the studio. Now, sometimes we bring him in on Millennium Falcons, hang gliders, limos, or, you know, stuff like that. By any chance, and again, I have my backup plan. By any chance, did you arrange a way to make this lovely guest of the hour to bring her into the studio? Is there a way? Or I could always go to my backup plan.
No, I can see if I can lure her into the studio here.
Okay. You know, because what we did also have, I don't know if you know, but if you look out that window, there's a, we also have like this, we thought, you know, she's kind of like a, would you say somewhat of like a princess to you, so to speak, or like a
queen.
A queen? That's what I thought. Because I heard about her, really, I heard she's really, really sweet, and I think you kind of know her really well somehow. But I thought I wanted to arrange for you, just in case, was this like a Cinderella-esque carriage to bring her in into the studio. Would you think that would be a good idea?
I think it's a great
idea. Okay, so what we're going to do, so out there, you know, and maybe tell the audience a little bit how you guys know each other a little bit. Maybe just...
Well, I actually met her about 22 years ago, and we happened to fall in love very quickly and have been together ever since.
So you are husband and wife, which I which is awesome. I knew that. But I think that would be great for the audience to know a little bit back history. But here we are. We're going to bring her in. So you're going to unlatch that door, and then you're going to wave. I guess she's in the carriage right now. She's a bunch of fans out over there. And what we're going to do, we're going to bring her on the count of three. We'll whistle in on the horses and bring her in on the Cinderella-esque carriage. Now, I don't know if you know, Joel, or for the audience. I know you know. But she's also she's an actress. She's a producer. But also, most importantly, she's an animal advocate. She's the founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop, which she's going to talk a lot more about and talk about a lot of her career. And I'm just anxious to bring her in. All right. So Here we go. On the count of three, we'll listen. One, two, and three. Uh-oh. Here she comes into the studio on the carriage, waving to all the fans out there. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. She's stopping for autographs. Taking some selfies with them. Oh, my gosh. They're throwing roses at her. I don't know. Don't get jealous, Joel, but they're throwing roses at her. Here she is. She's stopping. Here she comes in the studio, waving to all the fans out there. She's stepping down. Here she comes. Okay, here she's coming in again. She's an actress. She's a producer. But most importantly, she's an animal advocate, and she's the founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop. Here she is, coming into the studio, the lovely, the dear, and sweet, beautiful Kim Sill. Welcome, Kim Sill, to StarCentium.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. All so right. Nice to be here.
Yeah, look at all those fans. Oh, my God. Guys, I don't know if she's taken, guys. All right. Well, again, welcome. And thank you, Joel, for helping arrange with the Cinderella-esque carriage.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
That's awesome. Well, we had to go all out for her, considering that you're married to her as well. We want to treat her right, you know. So, again, we got Kim Sill, again, founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop, as well as actress and producer, animal advocate. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Cool. Well, I know, we have a mutual friend, Rachel Wheel. A publicist friend, and she's talked highly about you. So so glad to finally have you into the studio.
Yeah, I've heard so many wonderful things about you too.
Well, and likewise. So what we're gonna do? We got a little history about your hubby here, who was just impromptu here as a guest host. It's great to have him here. But we're gonna talk more about yourself. So we like to start. I don't know if your people talk to my people about this hard hitting question. We like to start off with. Okay, so here's a hard hitting question. Okay, here we go. The hard-hitting question is, Kim Sill, where are you born and raised?
Well, I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, but I was raised in Georgia, in South Georgia, in Tifton.
Now, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be, because your background is in the acting and producing, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be in the entertainment industry?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, I had no idea. I was, around dirt farmers, mm-hmm. and my mother was a nurse, my dad was a social worker, and we were just lucky to get by and survive the, ups and downs of life in the growing up in the South, really poor.
Well, now, what made you get into, because I know, obviously, you love animals, so is that where you fell in love with animals, was as a child, or did they go into later years?
You know what, it seems like I just always loved little furry things, whether they were bunnies or, dogs or cats. And my dad was a social worker and would go pick up kids that needed to get out of the foster care situation into better situations, and that oftentimes have an animal with them. Hmm. And we would take the animal too. And so we'd have to take the animal to a shelter. And what I learned about the shelters way back then was that, it's not the best place for an animal.
Hmm.
So we'd bring them home. So I started collecting animals.
Wow. Now, in the acting world, how did the acting world come into your life, so to speak? Was there someone that inspired you into becoming an actress in the beginning?
When I first moved to Los Angeles, I did not move here to be an actress. But somebody saw me and said, you'd be right for this part. Would you like to, maybe come in and meet the producers? And I did. And then I went to San Francisco for 3 months and I filmed a film. And then I was in.
Wow. Now, was there anyone that inspired you as an actor, actress?
I love Meryl Streep.
Okay.
I just think she's amazing.
Wow. I mean, for someone that didn't want to get into business, but you have a plethora. I'm looking at IMDb. You have a lot of credits to your name. So what was it about the acting once you got your first role that you fell in love with?
I really liked the camaraderie and the whole family feeling, being on a set, you know, with making new friends and just, you know, most of the people that I originally met during those first years of my acting are still friends with me today.
Wow.
I really liked that family aspect of it.
So what was your ultimate goal growing up? Was it to get in entertainment? Was it to become animal advocate or getting into producing? Or what was your thought process, so to speak, growing up?
Well, you know, honestly, growing up, I was in survival mode. I didn't have the best childhood. But what the highlights, the good parts of my childhood, were usually surrounded around family and get-togethers and church and you know, just my dad inspired me with the animals, and he always said, you know, doesn't matter what you look like, but what you feel like and who you are on the inside is really what matters.
Yeah, well, which is kind of cool to hear, because, you know, obviously some people get in the industry for different reasons, and then you kind of fell into it, so to speak. What do you think for you, was it that, obviously you said the camaraderie, but When you started working more and more, was there a point when you were saying, I want to get to a certain position so I could hopefully give back into, let's say, the animal community? Or was that something that wasn't coming into play till down the line, till you kind of realized the advantage you had? Or not advantage, but, you know, sometimes people have a certain a positive power in this industry to, you know, be a voice, so to speak, for...
Well, that's,
you know,
a great question, Tyrone, because what happened for me was that I realized that being in front of the camera wasn't my favorite place to be, because you wait a long time. You're always, you know, having to do what they tell you to do, even though every once in a while you get to do a take that you want to do and that is inspired by something that you're creating. And so I started making my own films, and I produced two of those and did pretty good. And then I said, you know what, it's still not something that I can be proud of and be passionate about, because it just seemed so superficial for me. So I said, how am I going to do better, and what am I going to do? And I started working with Last Chance for Animals, which is an undercover animal rights organization. And that really inspired me. And then I was like, wow, I can videotape things. And this was, you know, in the 2000s when we were all like little cameras, all different types of cameras I was using. And that really got me. Then I said, you know, I don't really need to act anymore, because I've got this subject matter in front of me that is amazing. I mean, just amazing stuff.
So, and how'd you get involved? And tell the audience a little bit about that organization. How you stumbled into that originally?
Chris DeRose was a friend of mine that was also an actor at the time.
Okay.
And he introduced me to the things that were the awful atrocities that were happening to animals, you know, like right in our own city, right?
Wow.
In Los Angeles.
And then you just said, hey, I want to do some kind of undercover kind of work, so to speak, or how did it kind of work out?
No, it wasn't like that. It was like Chris was, you know, very passionate and very serious about what he does, and he was like, well, I think you need to start here. And so he let me protest on a puppy mill protest that he was working on. He had organized the protest, and I showed up to the protest, and I really protested about going to the protest, because I thought I was above that, you
know? Well, now, Joel, guest co-host, you said you fell in 22 years ago. Was this in the entertainment industry, so to speak? You stumbled on a set with her or through mutual friends, and then are you within the business? Or then what was it about Kim Silk for you? Obviously, she's a beautiful lady. She's a wonderful and seems like a very big sweetheart of a person. But for you at that time, what was it that, like, you said, this is the one, maybe?
We just sparked. We met up in Park City. I was living there. She had a couple of rental homes up there, and she came up for the summer to write, and we were introduced by a mutual friend, and we went out on a lunch date, and that was it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. He left out a big piece of that.
Okay, what was that big piece?
So we had actually met 5 years prior to that at a Sundance Film Festival party that I was giving, and we ended up sitting next to each other. I was engaged at the time to his... Bob was teaching you how to ski. Yeah. So my fiance was teaching him how to ski.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what is it about Joel that you like so much, like that you just was like, oh, man, you know, this is someone that I could see myself with?
Well, at the time, I didn't know that he had worked on Forrest Gump, and we were just casually talking, and I said, what do you do? And he says, I'm a film producer of music for film soundtracks. And I was like, well, my favorite of all time is Forrest Gump. And I'm like talking about Forrest Gump. And he's like, well, you know, I actually worked on that film.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That's kind of cool. That's a cool connection right there. Now, Joel, as a guest co-host, you have an opportunity to ask for, in her earlier career, before we get into the nitty gritty, Kim Still, like as if you didn't know her, or maybe what would you think the audience would love to know, what question would you like to ask Kim Still here about maybe her earlier career or stuff before we get into the nitty gritty stuff?
Well, I think what I'd like to find out is what the source of your drive, your motivation to save animals is.
Mm, there you go.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I think it has something to do with knowing that we only have so much time on this planet, and that, you know, I have a lot of empathy for most things that are alive and that have souls. And so I'm just really connected to dogs and now cats. I've started rescuing cats too. I just can't sleep at night sometimes thinking about it. And it's a good time kind of not sleeping at night. I have ideas constantly about how can I do this and what can I do to get more exposure for this subject. And it's just really, like you see Tyrone, how passionate he is about what he does. It's the same type of thing. And I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed that I have that.
And when was the year that you started into, getting into animal advocacy? Do you recall, like, what was that pivotal point? Obviously, you said you met your friend Chris that got you into it, but what was it that you just said, you know what, I'm going this full force? And because, obviously, you're also the founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop, but before that, what was it, where was that one point that you just said, I got to do this? And were you guys together at this point, or
we had just gotten together at this point? And I think Joel actually helped me, kind of nudged me and said, look, you don't have to be on this treadmill of where's the next film, what country am I going to be shooting in next. You can give that up and still have your life and still do something that's important and mean something and make a difference. And I think that having someone by my side to do that really made the difference, because doing it alone is not an easy thing.
What are the challenges when you're doing this? Because you're the first person I've actually met that's actually gotten really full force into this. I mean, of course, I know a lot of people that are, part of some foundations and they'll donate and stuff like that. But, when you're in the trenches of this and going undercover kind of thing and finding all this, what were the biggest challenges that you faced through this?
Being naive was good at first. Mm-hmm. Now I find that the biggest challenge is trying to not get bitter and not get angry and not hate humans because of what you see happening to animals because of humans. And that's really the biggest challenge, is you want to keep loving humanity and not become this person, because you can become that person, because there's a lot of bad stuff happening to animals out there.
Yeah. What is the worst, I don't want to get too graphic here, but what is the worst thing that you've kind of seen for just the audience to kind of be aware of what goes on out there in this world? I mean, obviously, we see things on social media and stuff like that, but what was probably one of the most tragic things you've kind of seen yourself?
Well, because this is a family show, I'll talk about a family that I saw at a shelter, and it was a San Bernardino shelter. It was one of the highest kill shelters in California. It was in 2009, and I was in the parking lot waiting to just see what came into the parking lot, what I could save from getting intook to the shelter. And we call it, shelter shopping in the parking lot. And it was an easier way to get the dogs out of this particular shelter, because we'd already been banned from the shelter because they didn't like what we were saying about them as far as the rate of killing there. And this old man and woman, and he was in a wheelchair with the oxygen, and she had two purebred corgis that were walking beside her, and they were walking into the shelter. And I was like, oh, I got to stop him. I got to help her. What's going on here? And I went over to her and I said, ma'am, are you getting vaccinations? How can I help you? And she said, no, I'm giving up these dogs. And I was like, well, why would you give them up? They're beautiful. They're purebred. Did you get them from a breeder? And she was like, well, that's none of your business. And yeah, I might have got them from a breeder, but why are you asking me all these questions? Do you work here? And I was like, no, ma'am, I'm just trying to help the animals that I can. And if you are an owner surrender, your animals will be put to sleep by 5 o'clock today. And I said, do you understand what that means? And she said, do you understand that I have a husband here that's dying? I don't have any help. And if I don't put these dogs in here today, I'll be evicted. And I can't. I don't have resources. And I said, oh, my God. Okay, so I know that doesn't sound maybe like animal abuse, but to me, that was like the worst thing that I had ever heard, because I knew that there were resources out there. Mm-hmm. I knew that there were organizations that would help fund her and help her keep these animals, vet these animals. Instead, I just put the animals in my car at the time, because that was all she was willing to let me do. Mm-hmm. And then I took them to an organization that helped those animals find and rehome them. And I said to myself, I am not going to sit back when I know that there are, you know, 5 million animals in America being killed yearly. Animals just like those two being walked into that shelter. I have to do something. There's ways for me to help more than just, you know, putting out little videos. I need to do something more. I need to create a space where people can feel comfortable, like this woman. I mean, she's like barely dragging herself into this shelter.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like going into shelters to this day, and I go into them all the time. I always, always have to, like, take a breath and get myself into the right space to walk in.
And what's it like, Joel, for you, like, when you see your wife go through this kind of emotion stuff? I mean, how does it affect you yourself? I mean, obviously, you're in similar, you had the same background of field, at least in the entertainment industry. But then did you get emotionally attached to any of these animals? And then how are you a good support system for you? For her, so to speak.
Kim and I were both animal lovers when we met. We had 5 dogs between the two of us at the time. And we both had been involved with animal rights and animal welfare organizations. And as she evolved in her work saving animals, I've seen her evolve emotionally in terms of her understanding, and I've also seen how she has this, whatever this intrinsic element is, that animals like her. Mm-hmm. They recognize her as a safe space. And these animals that come into her life are so confused because they've been with families and children for years, and all of a sudden they're isolated, they're let go, they're in a strange space, and Kim embraces them and works to find a new environment for them so they can have a life that's valuable to them. Yeah. Emotionally, I think she stopped counting a few
at
years
15,000, I quit counting the number that I saved.
Wow.
The numbers
15,
didn't matter.
15,000, wow.
Yeah, numbers do not matter anymore to me. But he's leaving out a big thing that he did help with. I made a film called Saved in America. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary. He saw me looking at footage on my computer one day, and he's like, you know, this should be a film. And I was like, well, you know, we're trying to put it together here. And he got Dave Grusin, an amazing person, to do the music for the documentary. And it really, it's just a beautiful documentary. So if you're out there and it is kid-friendly, it basically shows how and what I did to get to Shelter Hope. Right. Because Shelter Hope was not a dream of mine. It evolved from being in those parking lots at shelters, talking to people like that little old lady, and realizing that the biggest problem in America is that we value things differently. You know, we all have a different set of values. Mm-hmm. And pets seem to be low on the totem pole when problems hit. And it shouldn't be that way. Yeah. You know, we should be able to be in America that helps our communities keep their pets, mm-hmm. not necessarily just bring them to me when you need to. I mean, I'm going to be getting a lot of owner surrenders tomorrow because I got a lot of phone calls today from families who, for whatever reason, they have to give up the pet that was once loved. And a lot of these pets are seniors and stuff, and it just breaks my heart that we can't figure out a better way to do this. It's a problem.
Yeah, no, and speaking of what we're going to do, we're going to cut to a music break because I know you talk about music and that kind of segues. But before, we're going to get to more of the nitty-gritty about your Shelter Hope Pet Shop. Talk more about that. But in the meantime, how could people check it out? Don't tune out yet, but just check out maybe your social medias or websites, anything like that on that?
Definitely. There's Saved in America, the film. That's a website, and it has a link to the trailer. And there's also shelterhopepetshop.org.
ShelterHopePetShop.org.
Okay. You can hit adoptable animals, and you'll see a lot of cute little animals ready to be rehomed into your house.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to be back more with animal advocate, actress, producer Kim Sill, and founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop. But before that, we're going to cut to a music break. We're going to actually have our guest co-host Joel introduce this song. I'm going to hand this to you.
Really quick. Over You Now.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah, no, don't worry. You're gonna you can introduce that song, and then we'll be back more with Kim Sill, again, founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop, and talk more about that. And here's Joel with this introduction to the song of the hour.
All right, get ready for "Over You Now" by Jane Patter.
Actually, it's Jane Patteri, but it's probably my handwriting's pretty bad. "Over You Now" by Jade Patteri, who's a lovely guest on our show, and we like to help promote her as well. So you want to say that one more time?
By Jade Patteri.
There we go.
"Over You Now" coming at you.
All right. Well, are you sure you didn't do radio beforehand? No. All right. So we'll back again more with Kim Sill, as well as our guest co-host Joel Sill again with, after this. This is "Over You Now" by Jade Patteri, and we'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Now, listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Why do all the boys that I love love to break my heart? And why can't I stop writing about them in the backseat of my car? Call me pretty, call me sweet, then turn around and leave. And now they got me asking what the hell is wrong with me. Maybe I'm too sentimental, or maybe they're just detrimental. Babe, my heart is not a rental, playing games ain't fundamental. For you, maturity is scary, cause baby, I'm not overbearing. Am I too much or way too caring? I think my brain needs some repairing. I'm the unworn out, not angry, I'm just over it now. I'm down with feeling down, not petty, I'm just over you now. I'm down, worn out, not angry, I'm just over it now. I'm down with feeling down, not petty, I'm just over you now. I'm over you, over you, over you now. So over you, over you, over you now. I'm over you, over you, over you now. I'm over you, over you, over you now.
Why do all the boys tell me they'll treat me like a queen? My love, I'll give you the whole world, give you my everything. But as soon as I say go, they stop and mess with me instead. Is something wrong with me, or is it all up in my head? What if I'm no fun, I'm actually boring, when all you do is keep ignoring my texts, my calls, now I'm imploring if I was even worth adoring. You tell me I'm so fascinating, and then you go on calculating if I'm even a bit worth dating. All you boys are frustrating.
I'm sick and tired, love retired, done with asking for what you lacked in. Don't come begging, I'm not forgetting over you now.
Right. That was Jade Pateri with Over You Now. If you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. Better yet, if you do like that song, check her out. Again, it's Jade Pateri. She was a wonderful guest here. It's J-A-D-E, P as in Paul, A-T-T-E-R-I. She's all over social medias. You can check her out music on Spotify, stuff like that. Again, it's called Over You Now. She's got a lot of great songs. Yeah, so check her out. What'd you think, Joel? I know you're a music film producer guy. What'd you think of that kind of song?
I was digging it all the way through.
Awesome. Yeah,
really?
I always, when we played it for the first time, I said, I could see this like in a movie. Like, yeah. You've been doing this for years. Is that something that you could see maybe in a movie, maybe?
Yeah, it's terrific energy, a great feel to it. Yeah. Lyrically, I just dig it.
That's awesome. And what is it, for people that don't know, what a film music producer does in difference of other, you know, music producers, so to speak? Like, for you, what do you technically do for films? Or
it starts basically with the script, and you begin the design of what the music's going to be in the film in terms of the overall concept of it. Mm. The underscore, the source pieces of music, music coming from a radio, music coming from a phone. And if there's live music, you have to organize who the acts are going to be, what the style is going to be. And then there's a lot of business aspects of it, yeah, as well, in terms of getting the rights. But creatively, it's basically designing what the musical components of the movie is going to be.
And you work a lot with the composers as well sometimes? Or?
Yeah, I can.
Awesome.
Depends who it is.
Well, that's great. Well, again, we are back with our guest co-host of the hour, music producer and film producer as well, Joel Sill. And back with our guest of the hour, she's an animal advocate, actress, producer, the lovely, and founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop, Kim Sill. Welcome back. So again, so we talked about, you know, how you kind of, you know, your earlier career in the acting field, and then how you kind of segued into becoming an animal advocate. And then you started a great foundation called the Shelter Hope Pet Shop. Then also I heard you worked a little bit with Cesar Millan as well on some things, right?
Yeah.
Tell the little audience a little bit about that backstory.
When I was working undercover, I got a lot of footage on some puppy mill dogs that needed some behavior training. Mm-hmm. So I sent it to the producers of The Dog Whisperer at the time, and they were working with National Geographic. They saw the footage, and they're like, wait a minute, this could be a special about puppy mills if we could get Cesar into a puppy mill. So we went and took Cesar undercover into a puppy mill.
Wow.
And then we rescued, about 54 dogs out of the puppy mill. And then he rehabbed the dogs, and we rehomed the dogs.
Wow. Okay. And what was it like working with Cesar Millan?
You know, Cesar is a gifted, talented human, especially with animals, but just generally a really wonderful man. And he does command. I mean, when he walks into a room, the dogs definitely, even if they're screaming, howling, they stop.
Wow.
They literally stop.
What is it that you think he has, that he possesses, so to speak, that makes him, like, is it just, I mean, I'm sure he's trained for years for doing what he does, but what is it for you getting to witness that firsthand that is like, wow, how does he command that? Like, what do you think he, what aura do you think he has that's different from anyone else?
I think his aura is the connection between his soul and theirs. Mm. I mean, he grew up on a farm in Mexico, and he told me that he'd always had this instant connection with them. So, you know, just like you have a connection with certain things, he has that, and that was like his gift.
Wow.
And fortunately, he met people in Hollywood that helped him create who he was.
That's awesome.
By that gift.
So let's segue now into, let's talk about the Shelter Hope Pet Shop. So tell the audience a little bit what this is about, how you started this, and how could people get involved, I guess.
Okay. So I actually, talking about Caesar, I started it because I'm sitting in my truck with Caesar. We're waiting for the producers to tell us when we can get out of the truck to go into this puppy mill. And he said, you know, you've been protesting, you know, pet shops for about a year. Why don't you open your own pet shop? And I said, well, why would I open my own pet shop? And he's like, because if you can't beat them, join them. And I'm like, well, who says I haven't beat them? And he says, well, you know, we're here outside of this puppy mill, and they're still selling lots of dogs. And, you know, I don't see people going into shelters, running into shelters to buy dogs. Mm-hmm. So why don't you create one of your own, you know, pet shop? And I said, you know, okay. And it took me about a year to figure out the concept. But the concept was, okay, I will open up a pet shop, and it will be a humane pet shop, and it will be a model pet shop for the whole nation to watch me make an experiment, because it was an experiment at the time, because people, you know, generally don't want to go to shelters. I decided to call it a Shelter Hope Pet Shop because I wanted shelter to be in the name, so that when people Googled and when people were looking for a place to get a pet, yeah, they had me as an option. It had pet shop in it as well, which I didn't love, but I thought, you know, I'm going to put pet shop in there because I want to get those people to come to my pet shop too, even though they might be looking for a purebred this, that, or the other. What I found the first year, which was just so eye-opening, is that if you can get them in the door, most of the time people will, you know, connect with any animal that's in there. They just want something to love. They want something that's going to give them that unconditional love that they don't get from humans. And so when I realized that we had them, you know, like this could win.
Yeah.
Right? I've been doing it now 12 years.
Wow.
And fortunately, I've got a good model that is working. I have free rent from a wonderful mall called Jan's Marketplace in Thousand Oaks, California.
Okay.
When I first opened, I didn't have the track record that I have now. And I said, look, I will bring life to this space in the back of your mall if you will give me a chance. They gave me 3 months for free and said, you know, good luck. You know, we hope you make it. But, you know, didn't look too good because I didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, you know, I could get, you know, animals from here or there, from which shelter and that shelter, and bring them in and get people to take them. But it worked.
What do you think was the success of the store, so to speak? I mean, because like I said, when you go to a typical mall, I mean, there's you know, people that sell. What do you think was your big difference for you? And so people could get a really good understanding of the difference between your quote unquote pet shop versus someone else's shop that they may not know just by walking into a store or a mall.
What was wonderful about that aspect of it is people were walking in, and I could hear them saying, "Oh my God, that dog only has one eye. Oh my God, what, look at that one. It needs groomed. And oh my God, what is that?" And every time they said it, I winced a bit, and then I thought, wait a minute, no, this is good. Because these people didn't come to the mall to get a dog. These people were going to the gym. Those people were going to the movie. They're going to eat lunch somewhere. Mm-hmm. And now, it never dawned on me that I was going to collect all these people that had no interest in getting a dog to be my volunteers. To be my fosters, to be my staff, to be my transporters, to help me find a decent vet, to get a good groomer. All the things in a community that a community has to offer was right there in that mall.
Wow. And Joel, for you, what was it when she started this pet shop? Were you just amazed that this started being a success, so to speak?
I am amazed constantly at the work she does. The organizational aspect of it, I think she probably has about 60 dogs,
wow,
at a time, and she has to have the fosters because she likes the dogs to go to the same home every night, not be bounced around. So she organizes all this for the animals first, but she finds the people to take care of them. And it's just amazing to see what she does. And she only tells me a part of it. You know, she doesn't want me to know all the really down and dirty stuff she goes through.
He couldn't handle the truth.
You can't handle it.
Right.
So how do people check out the store or, you know, help get involved, all that kind of good stuff? Because you said it's in Thousand Oaks, right?
It's in Thousand Oaks. But if you're across the country or even across, you know, California somewhere, I'll help you open one. At one point we had three Shelter Hopes going. We had one in Santa Clarita and one in Sacramento that I helped people open. And they were pop-up, so we knew that they had a limited time frame. Because once someone realizes that this is, you know, like me, what I want to do for the rest of my life, there's a way to do it at different levels. Now, my level is pretty high, and we try to get about 100 animals saved a month from high-kill shelters, get them into our system so that we can either rehome them ourselves, find them hospice if they're older dogs and need to just live their life out in a very wonderful home, or we ship dogs to other states that have a shortage of dogs that need homes or that in the shelters they don't have high-kill shelters.
Wow. So how can they check it out? Because we got like 4 minutes here. So how do they? So what websites, social medias, anything like all that kind of good
stuff?
Okay,
we do have an Instagram, Shelter Hope on Instagram, and we have our website. You can come right down to Shelter Hope in Thousand Oaks at the Jan's Marketplace Mall. We're on the corner of Hillcrest and Moore Park Road. And we're open Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 5, Sundays, 11 to 4. But we literally, if you call us at 805-379-3538, that's an emergency line. We will take your phone call and help you in any situation. If you need to get your dog fixed and you don't have the funds, we'll pay for that.
Okay, repeat the number one more time.
805-379-3538.
3538. And then websites, I know the Instagram was at Shelter Hope. Any websites as well?
www.shelterhopepetshop.org.
Shelterhopepetshop.org. Again, so check that out. Again, it's www.shelterhopepetshop.org. One more time, that's www.shelterhopepetshop.org. And then also their Instagram is at shelterhope. And I'm going to give that number one more time, 805-379-3538. So check them out again. She's Kim Still is the founder of this Shelter Hope Pet Shop. She's doing extraordinary work, and I'm a dog lover myself, and so I know how important my dog is to me. And I adopted, or I had one dog prior to this. I adopted lasted 17 years, blessingly, and then this one's another. I couldn't live without one when that passed away, and then now I have one that I rescued. It's been with me for at least 7 years, so. I do highly, if you guys, you know, like I said, you'll never see such loyalty than a dog or pet in general that has been saved. They know, they could sense when you save them. And I just from my own experience, I've seen the loyalty that at least dogs can give you. So if you have the heart, again, check them out. It's Shelter Hope Pet Shop. Again, they're in Thousand Oaks, but check them out if you want to help maybe start one. Again, check them out. The website is www.shelterhopepetshop.org. And then also the Instagram is at Shelter Hope. So Kim, Syl, I know we got 2 minutes left. This show is ultimately about inspiring others. You've been inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that may want to do what you do or just follow their dreams in general?
If you're hearing no a lot, that's a good thing. You've got to get out there. You can't let it stop you. And eventually you will get that yes. And, you know, sometimes when a door closes, another one opens. So, and the one that opens is the one you're supposed to be going through.
Okay. And Joel Syl, end this off. You know, for inspiring words of wisdom for maybe someone that wants to become a film or music producer like yourself?
Do what you love in music.
Okay.
Really, just follow your muse in music and let it lead to where you want to go.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you, Joel Sill, for being a great guest co-host. Any social medias for you or anything you want to promote really quick?
No, I'm fine. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we want to give a shout-out to Rachel Wheel, publicist extraordinaire. Kim Sill, thank you so much. God bless you and all that you do. And God bless you too, Joel Sill, again, for all that you do as well.
Thanks, Tyrone.
And it's been a pleasure having you finally on. And like I said, much love and best of luck to your shelter. Again, it's a... Shelter Hope Pet Shop, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck for everything.
Thank you.
You have anything else to say? One more thing?
No, I'm just happy that you've got a little doggy that you're going to go home to tonight.
Yeah, Bella, that's my doggy.
Bella.
Yeah,
yeah. Aww.
All right. So again, God bless you guys both. Again, that's Kim Sill. Again, that's founder of Shelter Hope Pet Shop. Check her out. And again, Joel Sill, and then you got some movies on the way, so to speak. You're working on, I know. So
yes,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you've done as well, and it's exciting to know that we all have some mutual good friends. So God bless you guys both, and thank you all for tuning in. I always like to, you know, like I said, I'm so grateful for all you guys. Like to end off my show, Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye bye.